I don't think that I know anyone who looks to the celebration of Christmas as a great time to try and lose weight. The reality is that our family tables are heavy with all types of delicious food, usually with the centerpiece being some type of juicy hunk of meat. Prime rib roast, glazed ham, brined turkey. I myself am going to try my hand at something called Italian porchetta, which is a large slab of pork belly stuffed with herbs, rolled into a log, and slow roasted in the oven. Eating and Christmas go hand in hand. It is interesting to note that at the very first Christmas, eating was a theme which permeated the entire mystery of the incarnation, of God taking on flesh. For example, we know from sacred scripture that Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem. In Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread. In Arabic, Bethlehem means house of flesh or house of meat. When we as Catholics hear about Jesus in the context of bread and flesh, we immediately call to mind the Holy Eucharist, the privilege of eating the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ at every single Mass. As we comb through the Nativity, we note that the very first place that Jesus rested after his birth was, of course, the manger. In French, M-A-N-G-E-R is pronounced manger, and it is the French verb for to eat. So too in Italian, the verb for to eat is mangere. And there are variants such as mangiamo, let's eat, mangia tutti, everybody eat. The point is that these verbs for eating are directly related to the word manger. In fact, we know that a manger in English is a long open box or trough containing feed for horses or cattle to eat. After his birth, the baby Jesus was placed in a container designed to hold food. And again, for us as Catholics, we know that it is in the Eucharist whereby Christ gives us his flesh to eat. And that important teaching, that important belief of ours, comes to us not from some pope or early church council. In fact, it comes to us directly from Jesus himself. Sometime during the Christmas season, I would encourage you to drag out the Bible and open to the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. That chapter contains what is known as the Bread of Life Discourse and records the conflict that Jesus had with the Jews and some of his followers over his teaching on the Eucharist. So in that chapter, he tells them, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And the gospel tells us the Jews began arguing with one another about this, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Surely Jesus must have been talking about this in some kind of symbolic way or figurative way. "Lord, you can't be telling us you're going to give us your flesh to eat, literally." But Jesus doesn't give up. He comes back at them and he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." There's this back and forth arguing. They want to interpret Jesus in a figurative way or a symbolic way, and Jesus won't let them, arguing instead in a literal manner. In fact, the disciples finally complain. They say, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" The bread that Jesus promises to give them is his flesh for the life of the world. And we know that he meant that in a literal way because of how this passage ends. In verse 66, we read, as a result of this teaching, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. His closest followers, who had been with him with all the miracles and the teaching and the preaching, couldn't get their head around this idea of Jesus being planning to give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And so they left him. They walked away. Jesus came into this world as an infant, and he will come again at the end of time in all of his glory. And now he comes to us in Holy Communion. When the priest repeats the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood," the bread and wine cease to be bread and wine, and in fact become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Part of the great mystery of Christmas is that Jesus is our food. Here at the cathedral, we're blessed to have that stained glass window in the east transept, reminding us of the birth of Christ all year long. And I often reflect on that window just because of where my chair is in the sanctuary. I'm often looking at it, gazing at it. And as I have reflected on that window, I noticed in the window that in the background there, looking in, is a donkey and an ox. It occurred to me as I looked at those two animals and Jesus in the manger that their food had been displaced by Jesus Christ. And isn't it true that that is one of the roles that Jesus is to have in our lives? Many of us struggle at times with trying to find satisfaction and happiness in the straw of this world, trying to feed our anxiety and stress with food that does not ultimately satisfy. That can take many forms, such as things like overeating or abusing alcohol, busyness, painkillers, unhealthy relationships, internet pornography, overspending. These are examples of straw. They don't provide real human nourishment. But if we allow Jesus to displace the straw, if we eat the food which he provides, we are led to true happiness and lasting peace. St. John Chrysostom told his 4th century congregation to attend Mass on Christmas Day where they could approach the altar as if they were going to the manger. He said, "If we approach with faith, we shall surely behold him lying in a manger. His holy altar will replace the wood of the manger. For there will be spread the body of our Lord, not wrapped in swaddling clothes as then, but on all sides surrounded by his Holy Spirit." And another saint of the 7th century, St. Bede, also saw this connection. He wrote, "He who is the bread of angels is laid down in a manger, that he might feed us, as it were the sacred animals, with the bread of his flesh." This Christmas day will no doubt include an elaborate meal with family and friends. As we sit down to pray, let us thank God for the gift of his Son, the Word made flesh, who came to us in a manger and who continues to come to us over and over again at this very altar, this manger, which provides us food, his flesh, for the life of the world.